It is Friday, September 28th. No way. 22nd. It is Friday, September 22nd. This is your host, Seth Dunn, backing out of the parking lot. It's time for the weekend. And you know what that means, Christian commuters. That it's time for Brother Williams' Alabama pick. Alabama is playing Vanderbilt this Saturday at 3:30. And I don't know, maybe I'll drive up to Nashville if my wife will let me, leave her alone with all four kids, one of whom is sick, and go watch this game, because it's probably a pretty cheap game to get into because Vanderbilt ain't exactly selling things out. Brother William predicts that Alabama will defeat Vanderbilt 24-10. Some of you might think that's a low score. Vanderbilt's got a pretty good defense. Alabama's defense has not been playing very well lately. I think 24-10 is a pretty reasonable score. So this week, Brother William might have it exactly right. So Brother William, thank you for that Alabama pick. I'm sure I'll be texting back and forth with Brother William during the game. So now let's get on to the Christian part of the Christian commute and not my weekly Alabama pick. Today's show topic suggestion is Chinese inerrancy. Chinese inerrancy. That's today's show topic. I just made it up. You'll understand what I mean once we get into it. I have nothing in the inbox. As I feared, no one wrote in yesterday. So the SethDunn88 at gmail.com Christian Commute inbox is bone dry. The Christian Commute is your theological roadside assistance. If you have a question about theology or apologetics, if you have a show topic suggestion, you can send it in to SethDunn88 at gmail.com, and I will cover it on the show. So if anybody thinks of one this weekend, send it on in. Today's Bible chapter review comes from Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. Hold on, let me merge onto the freeway safely. It's going to be a trafficy day, I can feel it already. And it's going to be a tough day for the Bible chapter review because my show notes have already fallen off twice. I don't like to start the Bible chapter review until I get into the fast lane. I can't get there because people in the way. All right, I'm in the fast lane. Show notes fell again. Let's do this. Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. Before people had the Spirit of Jesus come into their hearts crying, Abba, Father, they did not know God. They had not been adopted as sons. They were not acting as heirs of the promise. Rather, they were slaves. They didn't know God. They were slaves, basically, to false gods, to those who were not gods, Paul says. So if the Galatians, the Gentile Galatians, they would have been pagans, and they would have been following after pagan festivals. And they were slaves to that kind of life. And even if they were God-fearing Gentiles, proselytes were circumcised. So even if they were God-fearing Gentiles, they still would have been a slave to the law. Remember, the law acted as a tutor. People were slaves to the law. So if you were a Jew, you were a slave to the law. The law was your tutor, and it was instructing you on what you needed to become, and you were condemned by the law. If you were a Gentile, you were a slave to paganism. And now, it doesn't really make much sense, now that Christ has come, now that faith has come, to trade paganism, which is inherently evil, slavery to paganism, to slavery under the law, which is outmoded. The law is good, it's from God. It's certainly not pagan, but you don't want to be a slave to anything. You're an heir. And you're an heir who can act as an adult and cry, Abba, Father, because the appointed time has come. So Paul says, you didn't know God. Rather, you were slaves to false gods, or those who were not gods. And Paul says, now. It's not a therefore, but it's a now. turning something. There is a great change in the status. You were something else before, and it was a bad something. But now, you have come to know God, rather to be known by God, Paul says. It's not enough to say you know God. God has to say He knows you. Remember Jesus talking about the day of judgment and those people who say, didn't we do this, that, or the other in your name? And Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you. To be known by God is a good thing. God is, of course, omniscient. He knows everything and knows who everybody is. To be known by God, what Paul says here, is being a part of God's family. You're known by Him. You know Him and He knows you. You're no longer at enmity with God. You're in a familial relationship with God. You've been adopted as a son. You've been reconciled to God. You're no longer a slave to the things in the world. That time has gone, and a new blessed time has come. So Paul asks, how is it that you turn back to the weak and worthless elemental things? And when he says elemental things, you can go back to verse 3. He uses the same term there. So he's saying, you were a slave under these elemental things. Now you have come to be known by God and to know God. Your heirs according to the promise. How in the world are you going to turn back to the weak and worthless elemental things? How are you going to go back to observing days, months, and seasons, and years? What does he mean by this? Observing days, months, and seasons, and years. He's not criticizing them for keeping a calendar. In the ancient world, a lot of the religion was set around seasonality. Because these were agrarian cultures. So religious festivals and celebrations would come along with the changing of the seasons, with harvest time, with planting time, etc., etc. And the pagan cultures, especially the superstitious ones, would have these fertility cults that were tied in to the gods producing food or crops from the land. And the Jewish religion, it worshipped the true God, of course, but they had festivals too. Based on their lunar calendar is how they kept up with them. I think Rosh Hashanah just happened recently. That was the Jewish New Year. Yeah, Rosh Hashanah. You got Sukkot, which is the Feast of Booths. And you have Yom Kippur, the Day of the Atonement. So if you look into the Old Testament, there's all these Jewish festivals, and they're designed to have the people doing something repetitively in which they recognize God, and they mark the seasons and years. You know, you have the Jubilee year. I think it was every 50th year was a Jubilee year. So even the Jews had their way of marking time and seasons in religious festivals. This is a certain day, or this is a certain week, or this is a certain year. But all that Jewish ceremony was pointing towards Christ. Christ has fulfilled the law. That's why as Christians we don't have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. As Christians we don't have a Day of Atonement. The Lamb of God has come. So the Jews used to have the Day of Atonement, and they had the scapegoat, and they had their sacrifice where the high priest made a sacrifice for the people. We already have a prophet, priest, and king in Jesus Christ who has made the atonement for our sins forever and ever. So we don't do that anymore. But if you go back to being Jewish, you're going back to doing that. You're putting yourself under slavery to something. So Paul fears that he's labored in vain for these Galatians. He's like, guys, I taught you the right thing to do. I taught you how to be Christians. And now you're turning away from that because these Judaizers are trying to come in and put you under slavery. Why are you abandoning what's right for slavery? You could cry, Abba, Father. You're not a slave anymore. So that's what Paul is saying. So we will come back to Galatians, starting in verse 12 on Monday, Lord willing. But we'll end the Bible chapter review right here as I enter Bartow County. I time that well. I like to get done as I get into Adairsville. There's a big grove of trees that starts to separate the freeway in Adairsville, if you've ever been on 75 right here by exit 306 before. So the next time you're here on I-75 south by Adairsville, say, this is about where Seth ends the Bible chapter review on the Christian commute. And let's get to today's show topic. As I told you earlier, the inbox is empty. But today's show topic is called Chinese inerrancy. And I'm going to talk about the importance of the inerrancy, the importance of believing that Scripture is inerrant. The importance of the doctrine of inerrancy. But that's kind of an ineffective doctrine unless you understand what is inerrant. And I'm going to give you a little thought experiment or analogy or hypothetical to help you think through it. Imagine, if you will, that there is a recipe for General So chicken. And it is the recipe, or the best recipe, for the best General So chicken in the world. And it's in Chinese. I love General So's chicken. If I go to a Chinese restaurant, that's what I get. It's spicy chicken. It's little fried pieces of chicken and spicy sauce, and I love it. Some people like orange chicken, sweet and sour chicken. I like those things too. But I order General So's chicken. So that's my favorite kind of Chinese food. So imagine if someone comes to China with this recipe for General So's chicken and says, this is the world's best recipe for General So's chicken. Here you go. And you look at him and you say, this is in Chinese. I can't read it. Now, somewhere out there, before I move forward, there's some autistic person out there listening saying, Seth, General So's chicken is American Chinese food. They don't eat General So's chicken in China. That's not what real Chinese food is. That's Americanized Chinese food. I know that. Bear with me for the sake of a hypothetical example. I don't know what authentic Chinese food is like. I've never been to China. I've been in the Chinese restaurant here in Tennessee and in Georgia, and we eat General So's chicken, and it's good. All right? So you've got this recipe. You love General So's chicken. You know it's a good recipe, and you think this is the most perfect recipe. It will teach you exactly how to make the best General So's chicken in the world. It's inerrant. Here you go. If you don't know Chinese, that's useless to you because you can't understand it. So think of all the languages out there in which there are quote-unquote inerrant books. Now, not Holy Spirit inspired, but inerrant books. Like a Chinese math textbook where all the math is exactly right. There's no errors in their the way they teach math. Or an Arabic history book that tells a perfect history of Saudi Arabia or something like that. It's inerrant, and it's about something important, but you can't read it. So, going back to our Chinese recipe for General So's chicken, you hire a guy to say, listen, I really want this best General So's chicken. Here's the recipe. I can't make it, but you're a Chinese chef. You can read Chinese. I want you to make this for me. So he makes the chicken. It's pretty good. And then he says, thanks for making me this chicken. I want you to make this chicken for me every Sunday. I'm going to hire you as my personal chef. I want you to make this chicken for me every Sunday. And you think, where am I going with this? How do you know you're getting good chicken? How do you know he's doing what that recipe says? How do you know he's not cutting a corner? Let's see, the recipe says to use 3 pinches of pepper, and he's using 2, or he's using 4. To say the recipe says he's supposed to use tangerines, but he's using oranges. I have no idea what goes on into the sauce of General Chicken. But there's a specific recipe that says these are the ingredients you use, and this is how long you cook it. How do you know he's doing that? You don't speak Chinese. You're getting it through his lens. He's saying, here's this Chinese chicken. So that Chinese recipe is, in fact, the inerrant Chinese recipe for the best General Tso's chicken in the world. But you don't know if your chef is actually giving you what the recipe calls for because you don't know Chinese. You're getting what he tells you it calls for. So, does it matter if it's inerrant? Yes. But are you getting the effects of that inerrancy in your life? Quite frankly, you don't know. Maybe he's using cheaper ingredients. Maybe he says, you give me $50 for ingredient, I come back, I make a General Tso chicken for you. So you give him $50, he goes to the store, he buys lower quality ingredients for $30, and he pockets $20. And he comes and say, here your chicken. Eat up. Very good, General Tso chicken. You eat your $30 chicken, you say, that was good. And you think you're getting $50 chicken, but you're not. But you can't read the recipe, so you don't know. That's how it is with the doctrine of biblical inerrancy. If you believe in the doctrine of the biblical inerrancy, but then you sit under a preacher who's a scripture teacher, or a scripture twister, I should say, a scripture twister, or a false teacher, or a bad teacher, you don't know. So you can be a Jehovah's Witness in a cult and believe the Bible is right, but you're sitting under the watchtower and you think they're telling you what the Bible means and they're not. That's why it's so important to study Scripture for yourself and understand it. Otherwise, you're wholly dependable on someone else. And why should you trust this person? And it's easy to see the people who are completely bamboozled and hoodwinked by Benny Hinn and Kenneth Copeland and Todd White and Joyce Meyer, Joel Osteen, etc., etc. But what about the more subtle false teachers? Because Steve Gaines said something yesterday, untrue about the Bible. Untrue. But here's this pastor of thousands, and the people who think he's a good pastor and a good theologian and a good preacher are just going to nod their heads. Well, the Bible's inerrant, and here's what God's man has said something, so okay. And what put this idea in my head for a show topic yesterday is somebody was reading one of the two articles we wrote at Pulpit and Pen yesterday critiquing Steve Gaines for saying, if you come to God with a problem in prayer, he will give you a promise. Somebody read that and was like, Steve Gaines is a good preacher. Touch not God's anointed. Have you ever criticized a pastor and had somebody, maybe the pastor himself, say, touch not God's anointed? That's a scripture. I did a whole podcast episode on it over a year ago. Did you guys know the podcast turned 2 years old this month? But I've covered it before. So here's somebody saying, touch not God's anointed. And they're getting this out of the book of 1 Samuel. And they're getting it from the story of David with the opportunity to kill Saul, but he doesn't. And he says, I'm not going to lay a hand on God's anointed. He's waiting for God to deliver him to be the king of Israel. He's not going to do it by his own hand, killing Saul. And then what happens is modern day authoritarian pastors take that scripture and they twist it to say, well, the pastor is God's anointed man at the church, so you don't criticize him. Touch not God's anointed. And then people who believe the Bible is inerrant, believe what's taught to them from the Bible, except what? They just got false teaching. They just got error. But they don't think it's error. Why? Because it's in the Bible. The Bible can't be wrong. It's Chinese inerrancy. The Bible may as well be written in Chinese to those people because they sit there and they read it, but they don't understand it. I remember the first time I ever looked at a Greek Bible and the first time I ever looked at a Hebrew Bible. It was just markings to me. I couldn't even call it gibberish because I didn't know what the markings meant. Then I learned their alphabets and I said, now I can read this and sound it out. Now this makes sense. These are words. But even if your Bible is in English, if you don't understand how to properly or rightly divide the word, It may as well, as the old phrase goes, be Greek to you. You don't know what it's saying. Now, in reality, if it's, some of the stuff is in plain English, you can't mess it up. But when you have God's man, the anointed pastor teaching you, if you don't know Scripture for yourself, he can tell you whatever he thinks it means. That's why it's so important not to get all your Scripture learning from a pastor on the internet or blogs on the internet or a podcast, especially not what's on TBN. You need to study it for yourself. See if what the pastor's saying matches up with what God's Word really says. Now, a good pastor's sermons will, because what's he do? He goes and studies God's Word and by the right method, faithfully, and he preaches what he says. And then you hear what he says, and you say, boy, this resonates with me by my understanding of the Bible. You go back and look at the Bible, you say, yeah, this makes sense. That's good. But don't let inerrancy, don't let the doctrine of inerrancy drive your acceptance of everything you hear. And I fear that's what so many people do today. And I know people do it because Benny Hinn and people like that are quote-unquote evangelical. The Word of Faith movement is quote-unquote evangelical. If you were going to study it sociologically, you would say the Word of Faith is a subgroup of evangelical Christianity. And it's kind of sad because these people get where they are, these false teachers and bad teachers get where they are because society believes the Bible is authoritative. But society also doesn't what? Read the Bible. If you had an authoritative Chinese book and you couldn't read Chinese, you wouldn't read it. You'd say, well, I've been told by society and my family that this Chinese book is the book about life. And it's a great book, and it's inerrant, and it's authoritative. I don't read it because I can't read Chinese, but I have all these other smart guys who say they know Chinese, and I trust them to tell me what it means. By the way, that's how Islam works, by and large. Most of the world's Islamic people don't know Arabic, so they're trusting their imams and Arabic scholars to tell them what Arabic means. So you have these Muslims who've got the Quran memorized in Arabic. They can sit there and tell you what it says, whole surahs from memory. And they have no idea what they're saying. They're just saying Arabic. And they may have a Quran in their own language, but that's what they're just depending on people saying, yeah, yeah, this is Arabic and this is God's Word. You know what it means. And we have that in evangelical Christianity too. I contend they have that in Bellevue Baptist Church. Thousands of people who sit there and listen to Steve Gaines just say stuff with the Bible open and say, oh yeah, Brother Steve, God's led you to say that. Must be right, because the Bible's not wrong. Do you guys understand the Bible's right, but your preacher could be wrong? The Bible's right. Seth Dunn could be wrong. I'm sitting here, I'm telling you, Galatians 4, 8 through 11, that's God's inerrant Scripture. That's Holy Spirit-inspired Scripture. Read it. Know it. But what I just told you, I could have messed that up. I'm a fallible person. I think I got it pretty close. But going back to that Chinese book, if you really wanted to know the truth, if you had that Chinese book that was the most authoritative book, or that Chinese recipe for the greatest General Tso's chicken, if you really wanted to know the truth, and you had a love and a desire for the truth, you'd learn Chinese so you can read what the truth is, rather than depending on the so-called translators to tell you what it is. So don't be a Christian who's a Chinese inerrantist in that you believe in the doctrine of inerrancy, the doctrine of inspiration, but you couldn't understand the Bible if your life depends on it. And guess what? Your eternal life depends on it. Now, if you're saved and you understand the gospel and there's some other stuff you don't understand, you're not going to go to hell because you don't understand it. So don't misunderstand me there. I'm going to end the show right here, guys. I hope you guys just sit and think about that. All the Christians you know, think about them. All the Christians you know who would swear up and down that the Bible is true and inerrant and authoritative. But if some pastor, just because he's a quote-unquote pastor, tells them something from the Bible, they just say, well, that must be what it means because God's man said it. And you might have been in conversations with them where they're telling you stuff from the Bible and they're just misapplying it 10 ways from Sunday. What good is their doctrine of inerrancy? Based on their doctrine of inerrancy, they're taking what they think is authoritative and then they're twisting it and messing it up. Actually, it's like shooting themselves in the foot. Guys, learn the Bible and teach it to others. Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again on Monday.